May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 669. Poor sinners, sunk in sin's tremendous cell, tormented with the fiery darts of hell, on Jesus call, though wretched be your case, he came the lost to seek and save by grace. Hymn 669.
Thank you. Let us read from God's holy word two portions of scripture this morning. The first, the gospel according to John, chapter 4. We'll read to the end of the 26th verse. The gospel according to John, chapter 4. We'll read to the end of verse 26. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, then thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now let us read the fourth chapter, the Epistle to the Hebrews. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. The most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God, we gather this day with thankful hearts for all thy many mercies to us. Truly thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord, thou hast brought us safely to thy house this day. And Lord, thou seest the weather in which we are found in this season. Lord, we thank thee for that safekeeping. Do watch over us each, we pray, and in our journeys this day. But Lord, we're mindful of thy power and thy majesty, that thou dost speak and the whole country is covered in snow, and no man can put their hand to it, Lord, and thou dost speak and there is that thaw, that great power of our Almighty God. But Lord, what a mercy that poor sinners such as we can approach unto that great and almighty God and pour out our fears and our petitions before thee. There is a way made whereby we can approach unto thee, though vile and full of sin, yet we come on mercy's ground, and may we come boldly unto that throne of grace, bold in not ourselves, but bold in the Son of God, that finished work, approaching an almighty God through our glorious and great High Priest. That finished work, that precious blood, may it be applied to our hearts, applied to our poor prayers. Sprinkle it, Lord, upon our doorposts and our lintels, and may we each be found sheltering beneath that precious blood. Lord, how vital that precious blood is to guilty, wretched sinners. For we have no hope outside of Christ. No hope, Lord. Oh, do come and reveal these things to us each, we pray. May we not be building our hopes on anything short of Christ. Strip us, Lord, of all that's not of thee, and make us right, fit and prepare us for heaven. Lord, what an awful thing it is to be not ready, to be not right. We know not what an hour or day may bring forth. We're safely here this day, but Lord, it could be our last. And then where would we be? For Lord, by nature, we are to be found in hell. But we thank thee that there is that way made whereby wretched sinners can be found in heaven at last. That glorious gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That way, that living way. Lord, may we each have an interest in that life and that death and that glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray, Lord, for each here. Thou knowest the cases before us. We know not, Lord, but what a mercy that thou knowest all things. Thou seest us as we are. Lord, thou seest our needs. There may be those here, Lord, with burdens, soul trouble, providential trouble. Burdens of loved ones, burdens of sin, mountains of sin before them, and an eternity staring before them. Lord, lead us to Thee. Convince us of our sins. Then lead to Jesus' blood. We do pray, Lord, for each, that Thy word this day may meet cases. It may touch hearts. Lord, if there are those with burdens, may they be enabled to cast them all upon Thee. They see their burdens rolled away. And Lord, may we by faith see our hope secured in Thee. Grant us that confirming of our souls. Those who are long in the way, may their evidences be made clear. Those in darkness, may they be brought into that glorious light of the gospel. Those feeling tempted, Lord, may they feel Thee succouring them in their temptations. For Thou wast in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Lord, we do pray that we may each be found resting on that rock, Christ Jesus, not resting on anything of our own selves. We have nothing good to bring. We look back over the past week, and we've nothing good, Lord, nothing to merit Thy love. We're unworthy of the least of Thy mercies. But, Lord, Thy people have ever been thus, and will be to the end of time. It's all of free and sovereign grace, unmerited, undeserved. Lord, we pray that it may be shed abroad this day. May the Holy Spirit come and pour out in our midst, we pray. May there be a working at both ends, in the mouth of this poor sinner in the pulpit, and in the ears and the hearts of the poor hearers. There be a flowing together this day between the pulpit, the desk and the pew, that we may lose sight of each other and see no man save Jesus only. May there be those who have come with that desire, sir, we would see Jesus. Those with that desire, sir, give me this water. The Lord, send none empty away this day. Those thirsty, seeking, longing souls, Lord, may they be satisfied with that water of life. And Lord, we do pray that those who are cast down, those who are disappointed, those in loneliness, those with bitter things in their pathway, may be enabled to look to Jesus. For Lord, the hymn writer says, His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? O Lord, may we enter into a little of that. Lord, may we see Thee in our room, place and stead. And Lord, take away from us a murmuring spirit. May our complaints not be to fellow man, but Lord, may we unburden ourselves before an almighty God, knowing that Thou canst do all things. For Thou hast said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And there is no heart too hard, no case too hard. Lord, nothing too hard for Thee. Many here have proved it, Lord, with their own circumstances. Lord, may we each prove it. Leave none out, Lord. None shut out on that great day. May we each be found in heaven at last. We ask great things. We are great sinners. But greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Greater, Lord, thou art than our sins, though great they are. Thou art that almighty God in heaven, prayer hearing and prayer answering. May we try what our poor prayers can do. Draw us unto thee, we pray. Lift us above the reach of inferior things. Set our affections on things above. May there be some good thing done this day, in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Lord, may there be business done with heaven this day, an eternal purpose in our gathering here this day. Lord, we gather to worship thee. Could it please thee to send blessing down? Lord, may we be accepted in the Beloved. And do forgive and pardon each of our many, many sins. We do pray for the young here, growing up in this evil world. Lord, be with them, we pray. Keep them from the evil. Keep us each, we pray, with parents bringing up children. May we know when to say no and stand firm for what we believe. Hold us fast, keep us near thee. Those older friends, Lord, be with them. As we journey toward our end, Lord, may our end be with thee in heaven. Lord, we do pray that thou be with those who are tempted and burdened. How can we be right at last? How will we not make shipwreck? Lord, hold us fast. Keep us near thee, we pray. Hold us by the right hand. May we be led to Calvary. May we not be strangers there. May we see a precious Christ. Lord, stay our minds on thee. Keep Satan from us, how he comes in like a flood. Lord, we feel that company of two armies. How often we feel the wrong army is getting the better of us. It's not how we would have it. We mourn over it, Lord. But there is this old man, this old heart. Lord, subdue it, we pray. Drive out Satan from our breasts. Cleanse our temples of our hearts, and Lord, fill our hearts with the love of Christ, dwelling in our hearts by faith. We pray all these things, and ask all in that worthy name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 337. From Egypt lately freed, by the Redeemer's grace, a rough and thorny path we tread, in hopes to see his face. Hymn 337. Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's help, I'd ask you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 4. And with the Lord's help, I'll speak to you from part of verse 6. Gospel according to John, chapter 4, and the middle part of verse 6. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4, the middle part of verse 6. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Here we have a clear demonstration of the humanity of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and how vital it is. And let no man ever say or ever convince you that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ was not a real man. You know, friends, our hopes depend on it. It's vital that he was a real man. He was ever God, but ever man. You know, we have it clearly demonstrated here. How clearly Jesus was wearied with his journey. You say, well, he's the Son of God. How could he be weary? Surely, Almighty God can overcome a mere bodily afflictions like this. Why was he weary? You know, friends, his coming to this earth, his life here below, well, it was for the salvation of his people. It was for the good of his people. It was in obedience to that covenant he made with his Father in heaven. And he had to live a life as a real man. He had to suffer being tempted. He had to suffer this weariness. He had to suffer loneliness, a disappointment, betrayal, hardship, pain. You know, why? Because his dear people were to live a life similar in various ways to this pathway. And we're sinners. And there has to be no excuse for it. There has to be a demonstration that the law can be fulfilled. The law of Moses, it stands this morning. And a soul that transgresses that law in thought, word, or in deed, it is punishable in eternal punishment in hell. You know, friends, we cannot live that life that is required. We could not, by our own works, by our own endeavours, fulfil this requirement. Those in heaven, they are to fulfil this. No sinner can stand before an almighty God. Well, we're lost then, aren't we? For we're born in sin, and we're shapen in iniquity. How then can this number that no man can number, how can this number of saints be found in heaven at last? They're born in sin. Their starting point is a sinner. And they, by nature, love sinning. How can they be found in heaven at last? It's through the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And it's his living as a real man below here on earth and feeling our infirmities and being tempted in all points like as we are. Here we have the glorious gospel, yet without sin. Yet without sin. That's our hope. Our hope is in this dear man. He's a glorious man who lived and was tempted and suffered all the things that we suffer. And yet without sin, without murmuring, without complaining, without one wrong thought. This glorious man. And here we read, Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. What a comfort. What a comfort to the Lord's people. You know, many of us are feeling weary, aren't we? In our pilgrimage here below, the Lord's people there, they're burdened people. You know, it's through much tribulation. And don't get me wrong, friends, trouble isn't a mark of grace. The world has trouble. But what a mercy if the trouble that comes in our lives, where it's sanctified to us, if the trouble that comes upon us, and it will, that we're led through it. We're led to see a precious Christ. We're led to lay everything at his feet. We're led to trust in him. With the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, enabling us to cast all our cares upon him. And that small a grain of hope that we have, when a trouble comes and it is sanctified, if it brings us to our knees, if we enabled by faith to lay it at the foot of Jesus, to for him to deal with, we cannot deal with it ourselves. Why? When a blessed Saviour appears and delivers us from that trouble, doesn't that little crumb of hope and faith that we have, isn't it enlarged? You know, that's what we're to expect. If you're praying, friends, that you'll have your faith enlarged, if your prayer is that, increase my faith, or take away the unbelief, how do you expect him to do that without bringing you into these dark and troubling circumstances? You can't expect to pray to have the unbelief taken away without proving him faithful to his word. You can't ask the Lord for the faith of Abraham and expect not to be brought into a measure of sacrificing or being willing to sacrifice your Isaacs. You know, these are solemn things. People want, we have a desire, don't we, to have the faith of Paul? But we shrink from the life of Paul, wouldn't we? We want the faith. We want that nearness to God. We want to know him like Paul knew him. And yet we shrink, don't we? We fear being brought into a little of that pathway of what the dear Apostle Paul had. But friends, our Lord Jesus Christ, he has a sympathizing heart. You know, he didn't come to this world and live as a priestly king, a glorious king on earth, untouched with the fears and troubles of his people, living in a beautiful palace with no problems at all in his life. He didn't come, as we see in this chapter, he didn't come to this earth and in a superhuman way be able to walk through this pathway here below, unweary, untroubled from the world, Satan leaving him alone. Why, he was in all points tempted like as we are. So that when we feel overburdened, when we feel cast down, when we feel trouble overflowing us, like mountains in front of us, when we come to him, when we lay it before him, why, he knows how we feel. He knows how you feel this morning, friend. He knows how I feel. For he's felt it. He knows it. He knows what it's like. He's experienced his father turning his face from him. He knows what it's like for there to be silence. You know, in that garden of Gethsemane, the Lord experienced his father turning his face from him. You know, in a greater way than we will ever experience. But you know, friends, he knows. He knows. You know, what a comfort Job had. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, he knoweth that the way that we take. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Everything in your life. There's not one more trial in your life than there's a deliverance for. Do you believe it? You know, the Lord, he knows all things. His foreknowledge is such that nothing takes him by surprise. He's ordered everything. All creatures on this earth are doing his will. Do you believe it? You know, the very wicked of this world, they're doing his will. That person who's oppressing you, maybe. That person who's oppressing you and causing you such trouble. Do you believe that they're doing the Lord's will? They're not out there on their own. They're not some sort of maverick doing what they want. The Lord's has a permissive will, and he's permitted this to happen in your life. He's permitted one here to persecute. He's permitted one here to cause trouble. It's all needful. The Lord's people, they're brought into these troubles for their real good. Do we believe that all things work together for good to them that love God? To them who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe it? And if so, you have to expect the Lord to try your faith in that word. All things work together for good. You know, Abraham, he has that puzzling commandment. Take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him up for a burnt offering. Thy son, whom I've given thee that wonderful promise that through him, through his seed, the Messiah will come. Take him and offer him up for a burnt offering. What faith is displayed there in Abraham. What faith and submission is shown in Isaac. You know, and on that journey, 3 days they journeyed toward that mount. And all that way, do you think Satan left him alone? Do you think so? Or do you think he was troubling him? Why are you doing this? Surely you've misinterpreted the Lord's voice. Surely you can't be offering him up as a burnt offering. His seed is supposed to be countless as the sands. And you're offering him up for a burnt offering. Surely no good can come out of this, can it? You know? all things work together for good? What good can come out of this puzzling circumstance? And then you read that as they left their servants at the bottom of the mount, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. You say, Abraham, what are you talking about? You can't come again. You're not just to slay him, you're to burn him. How can you come again? What's this coming out of your lips? What faith. You know, it's... Oh, for a crumb of faith. That when we see these things in our lives, to cling on to that belief that all things work together for good. And here we see this circumstance here, that the Lord Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. He sat on that well. Why? Was it a coincidence that that woman was going to be coming to draw water? Was it by chance? Or was it ordained? Was that meeting of them ordained before the foundation of the world? Was that woman found in that great number? Well, we believe she was. You know, there's an appointed time for each of the Lord's people to meet with her precious Christ. You know, she was found in that great number. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me, that gift that was given, she must come. His honour was at stake. His great name was at stake. He'd promised his Father that she'd be found in heaven at last. She must come. Satan could not pluck her from the Father's hands. He had led her astray. She had lived a pretty wretched life. But she was loved with an everlasting love. And all the while that she had those 5 different husbands, and all the while that she lived in that adulterous circumstance. Why? She was loved with an everlasting love. The Lord loved her then as much as when he made known himself to her. You know, our poor minds, we can't comprehend that, can we? How can we comprehend this great love? That the Lord loved her as much when she was proclaiming his name and telling her friends and people in the city that the Messiah had come. You can understand him loving her then, as she gave honour and glory to his name, but his love didn't spring at this well, you know, friends. He loved her forever. He ever had loved her. And she was given by the Father to the Son. And the command was, bring her to glory. She's one of mine. Bring her safe into heaven. You know, his coming to that well, his coming from heaven to earth, was for that dear woman and for countless others. What a mercy. He must sit on that well. He must sit on that well. For he had to meet with her. And he had to draw her to him. And so she comes to that well. And she's drawing, he asks her, give me to drink. You know, he's drawing her. And it's the same, it ever will be the same. With a child of God, they will be drawn to a precious Christ. And so she saw, he made known this water of life. You know, and how in the beginnings of a child of God, how similar it is. You know, they see the Lord's people, and they see them, and there's something that they see that they've got something they haven't. They've got a peace. They may have terrific trying circumstances to walk out, and yet there's something there. That they're upheld. That they have that hope that there's something better. God having provided some better thing for us. And they have that hope. And it's attracting. It's drawing this sinner. And he sees his need by faith. The Holy Spirit working in his heart. He sees his need. And so she sees an attraction in this water, doesn't she? That this living water, that she will never thirst again. She says, "Sir, give me this water." You know, what a mercy if there are those here with that desire. You know, the Lord has shown you that there's the people of God, they have something. By nature, we wouldn't desire it. By nature, we look at the people of God and they seem a strange bunch, and we think they're odd. And we well remember going to the house of God and not wanting to be there. But then there's a difference. Ah, the difference. The Holy Spirit working in the heart of a poor sinner, they're brought to want to be found in the house of God. They're brought to want to hear the word, want to read the word of God, want to be with the people of God, want to hear their conversations. They want this living water. They know they have something that they don't have, and they want it. There's a wanting, there's a thirsting put there by the Holy Spirit. In covenant grace, in covenant love, and it must be. And so she has this thirst. But then it's, we see here, what does the Lord say to her? He says, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." How often it's said to this poor seeking soul, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." You say, what do you mean? Well, it's like this. The Lord's drawing, the Lord's showing you, giving this desire to be found in heaven. And then he shows you a little of yourself. He shows you what you're asking. You, sinner? You're asking to be found in heaven. Well, hang on a minute. Look at yourself. Go, call thy husband. She says, "I have no husband." "I have no husband." She's living in adultery. All she wants is living water. But look at her wretched life. And there's a little of the Lord shows his people. A little of themselves. It's needful. It's painful. And our desire is that the Lord would show each of us enough of ourselves. Not... who could bear being shown fully what we are in the sight of an almighty God who cannot look upon sin? But it's, "Lord, show me enough of myself to make me sick of myself, to reveal enough of myself that I have nothing good to bring. All my chapel attendance is meaningless. In that great day, you can't stand before an almighty God and say, well, I attended chapel all my life. It will mean nothing." You know, this is so serious, friends. You know, if you remember nothing else from this sermon, may you remember this, that there is only two ends to a man. It's in heaven at last, or it's in hell. You know, I believe, friends, there are many who look around at the world and say, "Well, I'm not as bad as them. I've not been to prison. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a rapist. And so they think that they're not bad enough to go to hell. Friends, how solemn. May Satan not blind our eyes. You know, there isn't a middle ground. There isn't, I'm not bad enough for hell, but I'm not good enough for heaven. So where do I end up? There is no middle ground, friends. You know, this is so solemn. There is no escape other than in the precious blood of a risen Saviour. You know, friends, you cannot build anything on anything other than Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know something of this saving, precious blood of Christ, if you have not even just a hope of being found in Him, if you're a stranger to Him, may the Lord meet with you this day and show you where you are. For friends, how solemn. And I tremble at uttering the words, friends. You know how solemn it is that there are those who feel that they are not bad enough to go to hell. You know, Satan is such a liar. He's the biggest liar there is known to man. And he'll tell you everything you want to hear. You won't want to hear that you're a sinner. You won't want to be brought to the foot of Jesus. You know, we by nature despise and reject Him. We think we want this water, but we don't want to be brought from here down to there. How we need it. We must be stripped of everything. Everything short of Christ. It must be done away with. And friends, it's painful work. You know, it's painful for our pride of our hearts. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear that we've done nothing good. We don't want to hear that our best endeavours are worthless. We don't want to hear that our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. We're proud sinners by nature, and we're walking tall. But we need to be brought to the foot of the cross, friends. And to get from here down to there, prostrate at His feet, it's not pleasant work. Ah, the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And so sweet it is. You know, this woman, she was uncomfortable. When the finger was pointed at her, when the light was shone into her heart, why, she tries to change the subject. She brings out that our fathers worshipped in this mountain. But friends, you can't. The finger's pointing at you and me. Where are we? Where are we by nature? Where is our hope? You know, have we a little of a hope in Him? You know, if you're feeling cast down this morning, you know, if you've been brought to have a desire to be found, and the Lord's leading you into this pathway of showing you a little of yourself, you know, it'll feel like He's pushing you away. It will. You know, I will remember it. I pleaded with the Lord. You know, and I said this. I'd read those words in Philippians chapter 3, and it was Paul, and he says, that I may know Him. I thought, know Him? Do I know Him? I don't know Him. Does He know me? And then the verse above, I think, or two above, and be found in Him. And I thought, that's it. And I made it my prayer, that I may know Him, and that I may be found in Him. And I said to the Lord, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And as soon as I uttered those words, Satan said, well, what have you just said? Whatever it takes. And you know, friends, from being up here to being at the foot of the cross, you know, it took a lot. And it's painful work, and it will be. And it felt anything other than being drawn. In fact, it felt like I was being pushed away. And I thought, I was left feeling, oh, what a ridiculous request I've just made. You know, the Lord showed me my life, showed me where I'd been, showed me the sins of my youth, the places I went to, the people I hang around with, all the many sins before me, sins of my youth. And he showed me it all. And it felt like, what have you just asked? You? Do you know how vile you are? You to be found in heaven? Hang on, this is impossible. What a ridiculous request you're making. And so it is. You know, he shows us a little of ourselves. Ah, oh, but, you know, we have to keep coming back. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Because he's still drawing. And although it felt like it was pushing away, it's in love. And he was still drawing. And the Lord's drawing his people. He won't tease you and tempt you and tantalize you. He won't bring you to seek him and to call upon him and to plead mercy from him. And leave you at last to sink. He won't bring you, friend, into that place of feeling all your sins and your lost, ruined condition and calling on him that he'll save you. He won't bring you there and leave you to perish. Blessed be his name. He comes, leaping upon the mountains, leaping upon those mountains of sins that you have, skipping upon the hills. The voice of my beloved. You hear his voice before you see him. You hear him speaking words of peace. She hears him. She knows he's coming to her. And how this dear woman, she would have felt, he's pushing me away. He's just brought up the fact I've had 5 husbands, all the sins of my youth. And yet, friends, what mercy here is displayed. It meant nothing. She was a sinner to be saved by grace. The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel their need, is welcome. And they're still welcome this morning. We live in a day where there's much to mourn over. But friends, we're on praying ground. We're each alive here this morning. We have hope. There is prayer can be made. You know, there is that throne of grace. You're not prevented because you're a sinner. You're welcomed. You're not prevented because you've done this and done that. You know, friends, if you see a preciousness in the gospel, if you see your hope there, go after it. Flee to it from the world. You know, we don't want to hang around in this world, do we? You know, press on. Press through those crowds. Yes, you'll have your unbelief. For me? Could it be for me? The Lord? Could it be for me? Why did he sit on that well? Why did he sit on that well that morning? Why was he weary in his journey? Why did he go through Samaria? He had to. She was a chosen vessel of mercy. She was to be found in heaven at last. Satan was not to pluck her from the Father's hands, despite her sin and her wretchedness. You know, she would have thought, and some of us have felt it. Why were we permitted to sin in our youth, the way we have? Surely, you know, Satan will tell you that. He'll say, you can't be a child of God. You can't be. The Lord wouldn't have let you go so far off in the world. He would have kept you near to his house. You'd have always loved coming to chapel. Wouldn't you? You know, friends, what mercy. What mercy there is. You know, that dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. You know, he was resting on the well. You know, the Lord Jesus was resting on Jacob's well that day. You know, that woman left resting on that well, springing forth, that well of water issuing out from the throne, from the Lamb. That she was resting on Christ when she left that well that day. And there is a rest. We read it in Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. And that rest, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There is a rest. You know, friends, we're wearied in our journeys. We're sick of ourselves sometimes, aren't we? We have this heart, and we wouldn't... those who have known a little of the love of God in our hearts, we have this... We know what Paul means when he says about this company of two armies, and you know, we wouldn't sin. We don't want to sin in our right minds, but we thought this sinful heart. We have the old man still in there, and as this warfare goes on, it's to be free from this turmoil. We're burdened each day with temptations. You know, Satan's ever on our shoulders, watching, looking for something to drive a wedge in, looking for an opportunity. There is a rest that we may enter into, that rest at last, where Satan will be banished from. There will be no more tears, no more sighing, no more loneliness, no more bitterness, no more pain or suffering. That rest for the people of God in heaven. And so we rest this morning. We sit down as the Lord Jesus sat on that well. We're wearied in our journey, but may we rest in this hope that we can lay it at the feet of the Lord, our difficulties, our problems, those things that are making us weary. May we lay them at his feet. You know, what a wonderful time it is if we can mingle our tears of sadness and know that we can mingle them with the tears of the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus wept here below. He suffered greatly. He lived a life, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected. And so he can succour those that are tempted. He can succour you this morning, friend. He'll bear you up. He'll carry you through. He's been there. He knows how. He knows what it's like. He knows how you feel. He's able to carry you through. He will carry you through if you lay it on him. He's promised. He's promised to hear. Those that seek me shall find me. He's promised. What a mercy. May we enter into that. May we have some faith applied in our hearts, given by as a gift of God to our hearts, that we may, as the Lord spoke to Jairus, when his daughter, he received news that his daughter was dead, that a trial of his faith, his worst fears had come to pass. The Lord says this, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. You know, friends, what a mercy. You say, if only I could believe. What does the hymn say? Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. Yeah. Let me just find it, because it sums it up so beautifully. Could I but believe, then all would easy be. I cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. And that's it, you see. We can't believe by nature. We need the Lord to come and meet with us. Meet with us on that well. Meet with us in our pathway. Meet with us this morning in our fears and our doubts and in our problems. Meet with us. Lead us to Calvary. Lead us to a precious Christ. May we see him as she saw him. He said to her, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. May you by faith and I in our troubles and perplexities, as we're seeking the Lord, Lord appear, Lord help me, Lord remember me, in my affliction, Lord remember me for good. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. May it be we hear today. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Remember me with the favour thou bearest to thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. What a mercy. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. She says unto him, sir, give me this water. And then he reveals a precious Christ to her and says, I that speak unto thee am he. Despite her sin. You know, he knew her before she knew him. The dying thief, he knew. The Lord knew the dying thief as a friend. You know, as we read, don't we? The Lord was crucified. One thief on the right and one on the left. Both malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. We read in the Gospel of Matthew that they both railed on him. They both railed on him. And the Lord, looking on him, you consider this, friend, the love of Christ, the love of God. There was one thief. They're both railing on him. The Lord looking on him, knowing he loved him, knowing him, knowing his face, knowing his name, knowing he had come from earth to earth from heaven for that dear man, and he's railing on him, knowing that dear man was moments away from calling on him in mercy. You know, there are those who will tell you that man cried, remember me, and the Lord, his love sprung out to him then. He'd loved him the whole of his life, friends. You think of it. How far off he'd gone. You know, Satan, seemingly about to pluck one from the Father's hand. In the dying moments of his life, having done nothing good, having no merit whatsoever. You know, that emphasizes so clearly the point. We cannot bring any good thing. It's no need. We've nothing good to bring. It's come just as you are, that dear man. Holy Spirit worked in his heart the last few moments of his life with such a wretched life. He had nothing good to bring. He didn't deserve it, unmerited. The Lord looking on him. He's railing on him, and the Lord in love. He sees him as a friend. He knows him. The thief doesn't know him, doesn't know Christ as a friend. He doesn't know he's in that doctrine of election. He doesn't know he's loved with an everlasting love. He's loved with an everlasting love. And the Lord in love looking on him. And when the Holy Spirit in his heart working convinces him of a sinner, shows a precious Christ, sees his salvation there, his only hope of heaven, it's remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, may the Lord make in our hearts, come and flood our hearts with this desire that the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, give me this water, give me this water. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £715, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, God willing, Mr. Ramsbottom will preach and address the Sunday school and present the prizes. Let us close with hymn 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enlighten, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce, O pronounce I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus my Lord. Hymn 380.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each now and for evermore. Amen.